Now, on the road, Public Broadcasting's David Brancaccio.
Hello again, and welcome to a new season of Now. In that building right behind me, there are some people with a very personal interest in Judge Samuel Alito's confirmation hearings next week. It is the busiest death row in America, a state prison here in Livingston, Texas. In the run-up to the Alito hearings, there's been much talk about saving the lives of the unborn. But let's spend a few moments on the lives of those condemned to death. Judge Alito's previous ruling suggests that he would take a hard line. But would it change his thinking if it turned out that Texas had put to death an innocent man? Would it change your thinking about the death penalty? Producer William Brangham and I look at that case and how Texas may be on the verge of doing it again. Among the many convicted murderers who've passed through these fences onto the Texas death row, at least two of them stand out. While their supposed crimes were committed almost 10 years apart, they have at least one thing in common. No physical evidence linked them to the murders that landed them here. Each of their cases hinged instead on the testimony of just one eyewitness. And in each case, that testimony was later totally recanted. We won't retry these cases here, but taken together, they raise tough questions about the standards we use to impose the ultimate penalty. Are there adequate checks on the process? Or does our system of capital punishment sometimes execute innocent people? Has it already happened?
Do you think we have a case here where the state of Texas executed an innocent juvenile offender?
I think there's a lot of evidence that Reuben Cantu may have been innocent. There are some very, very troubling questions about whether Texas may have executed an innocent man, and a lot of people are taking this very seriously.
Lisa Olson of the Houston Chronicle sent shockwaves across Texas 2 months ago with this blockbuster story. Did Texas execute an innocent man? The story begins here. In 1984, two construction workers were shot inside this house. Each was hit with at least 9 bullets. One man died immediately. The other somehow survived. That survivor would later tell police that the killer was 17-year-old Reuben Cantu. There was no physical evidence linking Cantu to the murder, but on the strength of that one eyewitness, Cantu was tried, convicted, and executed in 1993. The Chronicle's story unearthed a stunning revelation. That one eyewitness, Juan Moreno, a man still badly scarred from the shooting, was now saying Reuben Cantu was not the man who shot him. What's more, Moreno says he lied on the stand because he felt police pressured him to do so. The police were sure it was Cantu, he told the Chronicle. They told me they were certain it was him, and that's why I testified. That was bad to blame someone that was not there. The Chronicle's story strongly suggests that the police were eager to nail Cantu because of what happened at this bar. 4 months after the murder in the house, Reuben Cantu got into a fight and shot and wounded an off-duty cop. But because of some apparent police foul-up, Cantu walked away scot-free.
So when this new shooting happened, when he shot a police officer, almost immediately they reopened the case of the old murder and refocused their attention on Reuben Cantu.
The San Antonio police repeatedly showed photos of Reuben Cantu to the victim, Juan Moreno. The first two times, Moreno said the man who shot him wasn't in the photos. But on the third time, after Moreno had somehow learned that Cantu had shot a cop, Juan Moreno then picked Reuben Cantu as the shooter.
And that was it. There was no other evidence in the case.
Nancy Barron is a lawyer who tried to overturn Reuben Cantu's death sentence.
No circumstantial evidence, no physical evidence, no firearm, no nothing. And that was the entirety of the state's case on a 17-year-old boy.
Barron appealed many aspects of the case against Cantu, but most importantly, that there was no physical evidence against him, only the seemingly pressured identification by the victim, Juan Moreno. She lost all of the appeals.
The sense I got then and the sense I got in subsequent cases is that it's just a buck-passing system. Just get this case out of my court onto the next level, with everyone more or less hoping that someone else will be the one to put the brakes on.
The man who ultimately decided to make this a capital murder case was Sam Millsap. In 1985, Millsap was the district attorney for the San Antonio area and a full-throated supporter of the death penalty. DAs have a lot of discretion to choose which of their murder cases deserve capital punishment, and Millsap and his team signed off on this one. But when he looks back now, he's not so sure.
The thing that concerned me most was that we obviously had prosecuted a capital murder case on the basis of the testimony of a single eyewitness.
Millsap now says he would do it differently, quite an admission.
If I had it to do all over again, we wouldn't have prosecuted Reuben Cantu on a capital murder charge. I'd like to believe that even in 1985 that I would have had the good sense and the good judgment to have made that decision, and I didn't.
The abolitionists, as far as the death penalty, are using this as a banner case to say we should do all away with capital punishment.
Susan Reed currently holds Millsap's old job, DA, for the San Antonio area.
Why are you a supporter, in a broad way, mm-hmm. of the state's ability to execute someone who's done something very bad?
Well, I think it is demonstrative of society's value of life and also to establishing order. I think that the society should say, in certain circumstances, we are going to say that this is the worst of crimes and impose that ultimate penalty.
Reed has opened a new investigation into the case against Cantu. She is deeply skeptical of someone who starts recanting testimony they gave 20 years ago. She's confident her investigation will prove exactly what the San Antonio police have always argued, that Reuben Cantu was guilty of murder. Still, she agrees this was not a great death penalty case.
Does it trouble you as you look into this case that so much of the case rests on what this guy, a victim in the crime, Moreno, had to say?
Sure. One witness to the jury. There isn't the forensics. There's none of that. No CSI effect, no DNA, none of that. You're talking about a one-witness case. Today, if I were making a decision to go forward for a death penalty, it's not the kind of case I'd take to a jury.